It's still three lovely ladies in James. But amen, that's just awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. Well, I have somebody that I'd like to introduce to you. I'd like to introduce my son-in-law and my daughter to you. If they'd come on up and let them make some introductions. It's a pastor's privilege, you know. Y'all need some help? I want you to know, Roma and I spent the night together last night for the first time in 3 weeks. In the same bed. We moved in and we haven't moved out. Now, Tim stayed and Joni stayed with us 17 months. So I've got 16 months and a week left. Come on up here where they can see.
Supposed to have them out yet, but we've been away from church for 3 weeks, so we came. So we're going to slip out during the invitation, but we wanted to bring them anyway. So they're only 3 weeks old, but the doctor said we had to wait till 6, but we wanted to come. So thank y'all for all your prayers, and please keep them in your prayers. We appreciate it.
You've been so kind, and you texting and calling and emailing and passing the word along and providing food for the family. And Roma and I just love you all so much. Nanny, is there anything you would like to say?
Praise God, they're here, they're all right.
Amen. Amen. Roma is a very reserved lady, so that's a lot for her. I have thoroughly enjoyed this series of messages on prayer. I don't know when I have been as excited to get in God's pulpit and to share His Word with His people as I have been in preparing these 8 messages. That means that there's one after this one. It'll be the second Sunday in November. The Lord willing, Leon's going to be preaching for you next Sunday, and I'm not sure what he's going to be preaching on. I know he'll be on the pulpit for about 25 or 30 minutes, so you should get out early.
Pushing back the darkness.
Oh, pushing back the darkness. Okay. Pray for that message. I enjoy having Leon and Jared both fill in for me, and you know, I don't know whether you realize how blessed you are as a people with your staff. Not, exclude me, but just a great staff and just a wonderful body of people to work with and to fellowship with. And our praise team was privileged to be a part of one of my Edisto churches last Sunday night through Wednesday night and in leading them in worship and leading them in revival. And I said to Leon, you all needed that as much as they needed you, maybe even more. It's good to know that God is still using us sometimes in our own setting, in home. Sometimes we feel maybe God has taken His hand off of us. Maybe He's not using us in His greater, profound way. But I want you to know it was a real joy and a real privilege to be able to say those folks were from Dutch Fork Baptist Church. That meant the world to me to be able to be represented in such a way as they did. And for those people to experience, when our son had his colon cancer surgery, the pastor of that church was there with Roma and I, and we'll never forget that and what it meant to us, and had no idea. I didn't line this up. The Holy Spirit did. Had nothing to do with it. Didn't even suggest it. The call came from him to the Baptist building to Mark Powers, who heads our music department there, for the South Carolina Baptist Convention, and from there to Leon. And from Leon, the pastor connected with Leon. And I just want to say to you this morning, you would have been so proud of the way that you were represented by your praise team, by your choir, as they went and led in worship in the revival. Prayer. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 17. I want us to look this morning at the prayer of Jesus. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say here, okay? This is never referred to, and why, I really don't know. Why church history, why theologians across the years have never referred to this as the Lord's Prayer, but this really is the Lord's Prayer. Actually, the prayer that is recorded in Luke 11 and recorded in Matthew chapter 6 that we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer is really our prayer. Now, listen to me carefully. Okay, don't miss what I'm about to say here. This is very important that you understand this. Because in that prayer, we are taught to pray and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus never sinned. So Jesus would not have prayed that prayer for himself. Do you hear me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So if you are struggling in your prayer life, if you are challenged in your prayer life, and please, 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 by no means do I want to send a message to any of you from the youngest to the eldest that I in any way perceive or think that your prayer life is faulty. Your prayer life is something that you grow in just as you grow in the grace and the knowledge and the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process. These two grandchildren of ours, Asher and Annie, they have to grow. Right now they're having issues with their milk, and they're having issues, and the doctor's having to change their formula. We have to grow as believers in Christ. So start where you are, but start in your prayer life. Start praying where you are. And if you do not know where to start with that prayer that is found in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, etc. Start, that is a starting place for you to start. And it's amazing what will happen to you if you're struggling, if you're challenged in your prayer life, if you'll just start there. So I want to share that with you from my heart this morning and help you to move and to grow in your prayer life. Our board is out front. We want you to sign up for that board in order to participate here in our prayer room. We want this not to be something that Pastor Johnny has preached about, that we've sang about, that we've prayed over, that we've discussed and spent many hours and even going to the war room and even developing the classes that have been meeting in the Family Life Center and going through the study on prayer. We want this to become as natural to you as breathing, just as natural as breathing. We want it to flow out of you. So having said that, stand with me as we look at John chapter 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. And thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things, whatever thou hast given me, are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy words, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so also I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. That's me and you. Hallelujah. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. I love that. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Mm. Father, thank you for this prayer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on Calvary's cross, who completed everything, Father, for us, and made it possible that we may one day be glorified with him completely through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. By definition, this is called Jesus' high priestly prayer. It's one of the many prayers of Jesus. In fact, 2 weeks from today, we're not going to have time to look at all of them, but I'm just going to give you a rundown of scriptures where Jesus prayed in the Gospels. This prayer with its petitions, it's passionate. I want you to notice that. It's spoken with great emotion on his part. They're a personal request, and it is intercessory for you and I who are believers. There are at least 7 petitions that are spelled out in this prayer that are very specific in nature, and I'm going to mention those to you as a part of the message. 7, as we know, is always God's perfect number, God's complete number in Scripture for perfection and completeness. The prayer is complete in that it is a compilation of all that Jesus prayed in all times and in all situations. Notice in verses 1 through 5 that Jesus prays for himself. He opens this prayer by praying for himself. In verses 6 through 19, he is praying for his disciples then. And then you'll notice where I mentioned as I was reading the scripture how that the prayer shifts, and he's praying for all Christians and all disciples and all the believers of those that will come as a result of the disciples' obedience. The prayer is a natural flow of the heart of our Lord as he's seeking to understand and seeking to fulfill the mission and the purpose and the plan of God. Understand, he is praying, listen carefully now, he is praying as a man completely fulfilled and filled by the Spirit of God, directed by the Spirit of God, energized by the Spirit of God. He is not praying as God to God. He's praying as a man, as perfect man. Remember, two natures, perfect God, but perfect man, wrapped up in the flesh. And he's praying as perfect man. Therefore, as we look in this text this morning, and as we examine this text, there are at least five gifts that he mentions that he wants you and I to receive, you and I to have. Five is a picture of grace in the Scripture. Every time you see 5 or 50 or 500, you see a 5,000 that was fed, you see a picture of God's grace. You see a picture of God's mercy. And so in verse 2, you see specifically that he prays about the issue of eternal life. What is eternal life? How is eternal life received? How does a person come into a perfect relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for him on Calvary's cross? Notice that that eternal life is God's gift through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that in this prayer, he uttered the same words of one of the seven sayings on the cross. It is finished. I have finished the work that you sent me to do. So there's nothing that man can add to salvation. There's no theological jargon. There's no ritual. There's not an ordinance. There is nothing that man can do to make himself right in the eyes of God. It is entirely the work of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So eternal life is mentioned as one of those gifts. Notice that eternal life is for every individual. It is for those individuals whom God has chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world, because he chose you and I in Christ even before the foundation of the world. God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. God is immutable. He does not change. His word shall stand forever. It is irrevocable. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. God's word will stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle. His word is forever settled in heaven. And so God in his sovereignty and God in his wisdom chose that in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the working of the Holy Spirit in my life and in your life, bringing conviction of our sins, convicting us of our lostness, of our separation from God, that we might receive this gift of eternal life. Notice very carefully and listen very carefully to what Pastor John is about to say here. Notice that it is God who gave you and I to the Son. Now, if God is perfect, and he is, hello? If God is perfect, and he is, and God cannot make a mistake, and God is immutable, and he does not change, and God is sovereign, and God is holy, and God is just, and God is merciful, and God is kind, and God is omnipotent, and God is omnipresent. Now listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. You cannot ever, 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 ever lose your salvation. Because God in Christ preordained and predetermined that before you was even born. I want you to understand that this morning. There are too many people running around, and Satan's got them hung up questioning their salvation and their walk and their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they wonder and they wonder. And as long as he can keep you in that vein of thought, you will be defeated as a believer and as a child of God. And you'll never be able to experience total and complete victory. Now listen to me. My two grandchildren can never go back to the speck of love in their mother and their father's eyes. They can never be unborn. They will always be a son and a daughter of Joni and Tim Rabin. Nothing can ever change that. They had nothing to do with it. They didn't choose their parents. And you and I do not choose the manner of our salvation. Do you hear me? Settle it now. Stop wishy-washing around. Know that you know that you know that you know that you're blood washed, blood bought, born again, that you're a child of God. It's all of the work of God in your behalf. All of the work of God in your behalf. You have nothing to do with it whatsoever. God predetermined that before he ever created the world, before he ever created you, and certainly before he ever created those two grandbabies of mine. God predetermined that. So either you are or you aren't. And you need to know so that you can settle it, because it is entirely the work of God in your behalf. Let me move on to the next one. I'll stay here all day. The Father's name. He's given you the Father's name. Guess what? Those two grandbabies have got their Father's name. They're not mullahs. I'd like for them to be, but they aren't. Come on, John. That's my son, by the way, to you that are guests here in the service today. It's his time now. Maybe there will be some little mullah boys coming along. But they've got their Father's name. I want you to know, listen to me, when God saved you in Jesus Christ, he wrote your name in heaven in the indelible, unerasable blood of the Lamb. And it can never be removed. Never, never, never be removed. Because it's God's work. He's a perfect God. Therefore, he can't do an imperfect act. Hello? Are you listening? This way means, yes, Pastor Johnny, I'm listening. I just ain't quite got it all together yet, but I's a listening. All right. The third gift is his word to us. His word, heaven and earth will pass away one day, but his word will never, never change. Not one jot or one tittle of it. It is forever settled in heaven. And he, to confirm his word to us, he sent the living word, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, who was with him in the beginning. Isn't it amazing, y'all, how John would begin his gospel with the same words that Moses, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, began the book of Genesis with. In the beginning. Except John begins it a little bit different. Woo, can I shout? I'm Baptist. In the beginning was the Word. John carries you further back than the creation of the world and the heavens and the earth. God, in the Gospel of John, God instructs John to carry you all the way back to when there was nobody. And nothing but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he was the Word then, and he's the Word now. And the Word cannot be changed, and the Word cannot be altered. Their Word cannot be reversed or revoked. It is forever settled in heaven. Then joy. I pick it Ms. Joy Harmon, Dr. Ken Harmon's wife. She came last Sunday. She was here last Sunday, and I picked at her, and she walked in the Sunday school class. I said, praise God, we finally got Joy back in the church. Her name's Joy. But Jesus said, I came that your joy might be full. Why? How? My joy remaining in you makes your joy full. See, we try to fill our life with everything imaginable out there. We try to satisfy this old flesh with everything imaginable out there. And boy, the devil and the world does a good job advertising and offering it to us. And telling us it's what we need. And if we'll just take it, it'll make us right. And it'll do the greatest work in us we've ever seen. Joy. Joy. I go to bed with my toes wiggling at night, and I wake up with them wiggling. Three or four times a night, I wake up with them wiggling. You'll get that in a minute. You men know what I'm talking about. But I wake up every morning. I'm excited. You know why? It's a brand new day. I've never lived this day before. I'm not going to live this day again. I choose not to be, listen to me, I choose not to be mad. I choose not to be sad. I choose to be glad and rejoice in it because it's the day he made. Amen? Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of mercy. joy beyond compare, joy that fills the void and the emptiness in my heart and your heart, joy. In the Jesus movement of the 70s, the acrostic was started, J-O-Y, Jesus first, other second, and yourself last. That's not still a bad idea for today. Hello? You'll experience His joy. And then finally, the most repeated word in this prayer is either glory or glorify or glorifying. Read this prayer again and mark the, it's okay to mark in your Bible. It's not a sin to mark in your Bible. Mark how many times the word glory or glorifying or glorified is mentioned in this prayer. Because listen to me, you hadn't seen the finished product yet. One day, I washed my hair this morning and it didn't want to go the way it wanted. It wanted to go the other way back when I had hair. And I said, oh my goodness, they're going to see how bald I am. One day I'm going to have hair, y'all. And I'm not going to have crowns, I'm going to have real teeth. I won't need these. Hello? I'm going to have a perfect body. I'm going to have a glorified body, a body fashioned like my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you understand? That's what he's praying for right here, that you may be glorified with the same glory that the Father glorified him. Woo! Forgive me for just a minute. Do you understand, church? It's not something left over. It's not a little bit left over down here. We get the same glory that the Son got with the Father in heaven. Hallelujah to His name. Tell me what organization, tell me what individual out there, including our president or anyone else, tell me what person can offer you that. Other than God the Father, through Jesus the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, if that doesn't light your fire this morning, you better check it out, because it is sure soaked. And not with gasoline either. With the glory that He was glorified with in the beginning. And then, those seven specific things that He prayed for. Number one, and we just talked about it. In verse 1, that Jesus may be glorified as the Son who has glorified the Father. Father, would you glorify me with the glory that I had with you in the beginning? Do you understand this morning that when He left heaven to come to be our Lord and our Savior, He emptied Himself of that glory? Now look up here, don't miss what I'm about to say. God is not just about restoring what was damaged with sin. God is about making everything new. Everything. A new you. You see, that's what this thing we call salvation is all about. That's why Pastor Johnny screams every Sunday morning and splatters his lungs all over the congregation every Sunday morning, because I want you to understand, I want you to know that this is something that's real. It's not pie in the sky that we're waiting to receive. It's now. Father, glorify me now with the glory that I had with you in the beginning. Glorify me now with the glory I had with you in the beginning. That He may be restored to that glory. That He may be fully restored to that glory. For you and I, it's going to be a brand new glory. It's something we've never experienced before. Something we've never known before. It's going to be all brand new. Listen to me. He's about making a new person. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Hello? brand new. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no suffering, no death. As wonderful as the birth of our grandchildren is, someone lost their baby this past week. And yes, we know that little baby is in the presence of the Lord, the God who created it. But no more. The day's coming, beloved of God. That's the prayer. The day's coming. He prayed for you and he prayed for me. That's how much he loves you. For our safety, for our security in verse 11 and verse 15, I've got to move along. That we would be delivered and set free from worldly influence and worldly power. That we would be kept from the evil one. That's the actual interpretation there. Not just evil, the evil one. Do you pray a hedge around your children? Do you plead the blood of Jesus over them as a protection from all the fiery darts of the evil one? I want to brag and give God the glory. Roman and I started there. And I want to tell you it works. And both of our children and both of their mates. And I fully expect, if the Lord tarries and he lets me live till I'm 96, they'll be 24. Well, 72 from 96 is 24, right? When I went to school, now you know how old I am. I know I don't look it. That's okay. But listen to me this morning. What do you pray over your children when you pray? Do you realize we are the Father's children? Do you realize what the Son is praying over us there? He doesn't, listen to me, he doesn't want you to be under the influence of the evil one. That's why in the prayer, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Deliver us from evil. We ought to be praying hedges around our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We ought to be praying hedges about them. Miss Joyce Tackett's fixing to have a great-grandbaby next Sunday, the Lord willing. We ought to be praying, we ought to be praying over. That's the Father instructing the Son to pray over his children for their divine protection from the fiery darts of the evil one. And I just believe it works, y'all. I just believe it works. And I don't believe, listen to me, I don't believe it's ever too early to start. If they're not here yet, they're on the way. It just isn't quite time for them yet. They're on the way. It's a promise to you. That all believers may experience sanctification through the word, verse 17. Sanctification scares us to death. It's one of those big words like glorification, you know, and omnipotence and immutable. And it's one of those, it just simply means that we would allow the word to purify our lives. That we'd allow the word to take our lives and to mold us and conform us to the image of Jesus. It is the process by which God conforms us to Jesus Christ and helps us to recognize and to see those things in our life that we don't need. For too long, Baptists have preached about what's wrong with drinking and smoking and cussing and chewing, et cetera, and hanging around with those, et cetera, et cetera. For too long, we've talked about the negative aspect of those things. You see, when the process of sanctification, when you pray for sanctification in somebody's life, listen to me, they begin to realize, I don't need it. I don't need it. Now, I'm not one of those preachers that believes if a person smokes, they go into hell. I'm not. But I don't need it. It's a habit I can do without. You see, sanctification does that in our life. The Word does that in my life and in your life when we allow the Word to work in our hearts and to work in our lives. You see? That's what Jesus is praying for. So are you struggling with something this morning? Hello, you ain't the only one. And you're not going to be the only one. You're having a battle out there this morning in some area in your life that Satan just seems to have a toehold. Listen, just take this prayer that Jesus prayed for you and say, Father, in Jesus' name, sanctify my life according to your word for your glory. And declare it to be so. I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to talk about you. Every person in this room here this morning that's a blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again child of God is at a different stage in their growth and development in Christ. Sometimes I remind Rome of that. Maybe I'm not quite there yet, you know. I'm a work in progress. He's working on me. I don't want you to look up here this morning and think I've got all my ducks in a row and everything's perfect and fine with me. Just ask Miss Roma. Better still, ask my daughter. Ask my son-in-law. He was in my house 10 years before he ever married my daughter. He seen Pastor Johnny when he wasn't Pastor Johnny. I want you to understand this morning the power of this prayer. I want you to understand this morning. Listen to me. When you're struggling with those things in your life, whatever it may be, maybe it's unforgiveness, maybe it's lust, maybe it's an appetite. Junie's learning now what her daddy said all the time. I can take steroids and I could eat the house. She has to be on steroids for what's taking place in her legs right now. And I'm telling you, I have to take steroids every now and then to be able to stand up here on Sunday morning. I don't take them every day. Rome will tell you that. But I do. And it's the hard thing to lose weight. In fact, every bit I lost last year, I put back on. I know you know that, and you're just nice. You don't want to tell me. Got a shirt out in the closet the other day, though, and I did feel bad. And then I looked, and it was small. I've never had a small shirt. That all believers may experience spiritual unity in the body. I'm going to tell y'all. I've pastored 3 churches. This has probably become one of the most unified bodies. And I'm not toting a pumping Leon by saying this, but I think it has everything to do with the spirit that works in him leading us in worship on Sunday morning before I get up here to deliver the word. I've been when it wasn't good, but I am blessed to be able to work with him. And I know he doesn't do everything always the way you'd like for him to do it. But I know that man's heart. And I know his desire is to take us into the presence of God every Sunday morning. And let me tell you something. I've seen my wife. I've watched her worship. And I've seen how she has been drawn into worship under the leadership. I've seen the unity that is brought into the body here. I've seen the love that is promoted among us. I've seen the desire to work together, to be one as the body of Christ. And Leon will tell you this, Jared will tell you this, as ministers. It's rare. It's rare. And we are blessed. We are blessed to experience that great unity and fellowship with one another as we serve our God and our Lord, and as we seek to lead people to become engaged with their lives in His kingdom. That the world may see that unity. 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 The joke is always that the disciples on the day of Pentecost were driving a Honda because they were all in one accord. And the joke is that God drove Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden in a Plymouth. And the reason we know that is because He drove them out in His fury. You get it in a minute. I know you think that's not a part of the message. But it's to give me just a couple more minutes with your mind right now. Just two more minutes. The greatest testimony to who God is doesn't take place in here on Sunday morning. It takes place out there when we leave. The greatest proof to who I am is not when I stand up here and preach, but how the world sees me outside of those doors. Same goes for you. How we handle ourselves, how we relate to others, how we minister the word to others. Quickly, the last one. We've already talked about it. But he prays it again in verse 24. That all believers may be one. May be one. And that they may be whole. Listen to me. They may be whole. And that they may share His glory. Sometimes when you're having a down moment, turn to John 17. And read what the Lord prayed for you. Sometimes when you're having a struggle, sometimes when it seems like everything's working against you and everybody's working against you, turn to John 17. I constantly remind myself of verse 26. Listen to me carefully now. Last point. Not in my notes. And I hate to have to say this morning, but when I sin, I'm sure none of you do. And I don't mean that sarcastically, not at all. The greatest thing for any of us as believers to do sometimes is to admit we sin. Because it points out our failure. And then we feel guilty. We feel like trash. We feel like dirt. We feel no good. We feel unimportant, unnecessary, unwanted. And the last thing Satan tells us is we are unloved. And I turn to John 17:26, and I remind him, Gordon, I want you to know my Father loves me as much as He loved Jesus. Now, church, I don't understand that. Pastor Johnny doesn't understand that. I don't understand salvation. I don't understand how blood cleanses from sin and makes me right before God. But the Scripture says it does. Therefore, I believe it by faith and act on it. Hello? I'm not a brilliant person. There's a lot I don't understand. I just believe it. And when He tells me that that's how much He loves me, Then I turn around, I remind Satan, and I say, let me tell you how much my Father loves me. Let me tell you how much my Father loves me. Father,